This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. And we are so thankful that you have joined us for the next half hour. We journey through God's Word, and I just want to take an opportunity here and invite you out to our Bible study tonight, 7 p.m., takes place in the sanctuary. And this is one of those things where we're going through the Word of God topic by topic. We've been doing this for almost 2 years now. It's been really great for our people. They are really excited about it, and a number of them have taken what they have learned in our class and have taken those lessons and shared it with others in their sphere of influence, if you will. And that's exactly what it was designed to do, to make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. So if you would like to come and be a part of that, the topics themselves are not necessarily building upon one another. They stand independently on their own. Some of them could be grouped together into a 3 or 4 week session, but for the most part, they are 77 different studies independent of one another. And so you can join at any time and dive in and join us as we become students of the Word, that know the Word, live the Word, and share the Word. So today we are going to be talking here on the Refresh radio program about even teaching is something that not only takes place from a godly perspective, it takes place from an ungodly perspective as well. And so we've spent a lot of time talking about so far things that we're supposed to learn from the Word of God and from the people of God. Today we are going to be looking at a series of passages that describe that the ungodly also teach one another and have an attitude towards acquiring information, but it may not be good. And so we're going to look at that. Today we're going to go to Psalm 50, and I'm going to begin reading at verse number 16, but we'll read on down to verse number 20, but primarily we're going to focus on verse number 17. So Psalm 50, verse number 16 says, "But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes." So this is one of those passages of Scripture that I think about a lot. Because there are people in our society that claim the promises of God. They can even recite the promises of God. I think of one person in particular. This goes back, you know, over 25 years ago. And that person was the best quoter of the Bible I had ever come across. The problem was he didn't live it. He didn't live it. And whenever you tried to help him to learn what the Word of God meant when it said what he quoted, he didn't want to have anything to do with it. And so there are a lot of people who don't realize that the promises of God come because we are walking in covenant with God according to the terms that he has established in his covenant. The latter part, verse number 21, also is very thought-provoking in that the people of this era who don't have anything to do with God think that God is everything like them, altogether like you, it says here in the verse. And God says, I don't, you and I have nothing in common, and therefore I'm going to rebuke you and correct you. There are people who think that the lie that they believe is the truth. That's why they tell it. They reject the truth as a lie because they don't want to believe it. That means that they would have to admit they were wrong. They would have to admit that they needed to change. They needed to repent. And a lot of people just cannot bring themselves to do that. So, verse number 17, God's question, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in my mouth, seeing you hate instruction? There are a lot of people through the years. I've been a youth pastor. There is no cure for being a youth pastor. Once you are one, that sticks with you for your entire life. And a lot of times young people don't want to go to school. And honestly, the school system is not set up in a manner that everybody is going to be successful in that, because the school system is largely set up to be a lecture format and a study in your book format. And especially a lot of guys, they don't do well learning in that environment. So they don't want to go to school. So you see a lot of people drop out and things like that. They think that, you know, hey, I should be able to go do something fun instead of doing something that I'm going to fail at anyway. I will tell you, though, that instruction is going to happen in your life one way or the other. You're either going to learn the right things to do, you're going to learn what God wants you to do, or you're going to learn the things that God doesn't want you to do, and you can either learn that the easy way or you can learn it the hard way. But there is going to be learning that takes place. Here, it's not so much the topic of whether or not they're going to learn, but the attitude they have towards God's covenant and God's word, which they recite, but it says, you hate my instruction. So I have a definition. I have a of the difference between good and great. Good is when I find out something would have made my project or my life a lot better, but I found out about it after I had already done it the wrong way. Great is exactly the same information, only I learn it so I can implement it early and I don't make mistakes that way. Here, the psalmist writes that these enemies of God hate the instruction of God. They don't want God to teach them. They don't want God's word taught. That as long as it can be something where they're affirmed as being correct and right and all of that and no need to change, then they're okay with it. But all of us are called to change. So the Bible says that there is one entity that will never change, and that is God. Everything else changes. So, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But people, in general, do not like change. They don't like it. And they especially don't like it when the change is something that they need to do. But God is constantly refining us, constantly purifying us. So we should be in a constant state of transformation where God is changing us. And so rather than hating the instruction and rejecting God's word to where we can't find it, can't see it, we want to run away from it, we need to be running to God's word so that we can find out as early as possible what God expects from us so that we can be successful in that. We only get one life. We only get one life, and so therefore we need to make the most of that. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. I know it's here. It's right after the book of Psalms, Proverbs. There we go, Proverbs chapter 1. And it says this in verse number 7 through 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. And so there's a very positive truth that begins this passage, and that is that our attitude towards God, being in awe of God, reverential awe of God, to the point that we respect him and don't want to do anything that would displease him. He said that's the beginning of knowledge, but not everybody's going to choose that. It's available to everyone, but not everyone makes that choice. Instead, it said that fools despise wisdom and instruction. So I'm not supposed to be going around labeling people that I disagree with as fools, but the Bible does identify what a fool is. So the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. Doesn't say that he says it with his mouth. He says it with his heart. It's the way that he lives, as if there is no God, that there is no accountability, that there is no one that watches and sees and knows everything that goes on in our life. And so that is a foolish way to live. Living as if there is no God is indicative of a person that God would call a fool. Second attribute here is that fools despise, they hate wisdom and instruction. I could say that there's probably a lot of people out there that they really don't want to hear what God has to say. They want to operate from the world's system of wisdom instead of God's system of wisdom. Heavenly wisdom is superior to the wisdom of earth. That doesn't mean that I cannot learn things that, you know, don't come from the Bible, because I have. I learn a great deal of things. But living according to the wisdom of this world is not the highest goal. Living according to the wisdom and the instruction of God is very aspirational and should be something that we long to accomplish. So don't have the wrong attitude towards the wisdom of God, to where in Proverbs chapter 1 it says that you despise it, or in Psalm 50 it says that you cast it behind your back, or you hide it, you conceal it, you don't study it, you bury it through activities or neglect, and you don't find out what it has to say. Dive into it. Fall in love with it, and it'll be something that changes your life. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 31, we'll read verses 31 through 33 here. It says, the ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. We could spend a lot of time unpacking those very three verses, but seeing how we've got about a little less than 13 minutes left, we won't unpack everything there. But it says here that when we despise the instruction of God or disdain it, that it reflects that we have a despicable attitude towards our soul, our life, our spirit, our mind, our will, our emotions. It's because we don't want to improve that. And whenever you abuse something that you are supposed to treasure, that's going to be very, very foolish. So if we don't despise our soul, if we don't want to act foolishly in that way, then we need to listen to those who will speak words of truth to us, words of correction to us. I've got a note here from a previous time of going through this passage that it says about verse number 31, that this reflects a person who recognizes the need for insight from other believers. And so every once in a while, I pick up something, and it may not even be in a classroom setting, but because I'm listening for something, because I'm listening for what God may want to speak to me that will make me a better pastor, make me a better man, make me a better husband, a better father, a better grandfather, better business person, whatever. Sometimes I pick up things from other people. Now, there are some people that are esteemed highly by the world that I see the system that they put in place, and it's in violation of the Word of God, And so I don't necessarily cherish those people's wisdom. The wisdom that I value lines up with the Word of God. And so it says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And if we will listen to those who correct us, we will gain understanding. So one more passage we're going to go to today, and that is in the book of Jeremiah. So you got the book of Isaiah, then you got the book of Jeremiah, and we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 9. And it says in verse number 12, we'll read down to verse number 16. Who is the wise man who may understand this, and who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken that he may declare it? Why does the land perish and burn up like a wilderness so that no one can pass through? And the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them. They've not obeyed my voice nor walked according to it, but they have walked according to the dictates of their own hearts and after the Baals, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, this people, with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink. I will scatter them also among the Gentiles, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them until I have consumed them. So God says to this group of people, said, I need to speak to someone who is wise. I need to speak to someone who has some understanding. And I have a question for them, and that is this. Why is the land in such horrible condition? That's his question. Why does the land perish and burn up like a wilderness so that no one can pass through? So they were going through a season of drought, which in an agrarian society was devastating. He said, Why is this happening? I will never forget a time when I was crying out to God, and God spoke to me and said, how many times have you dealt with this problem? And I said, I've lost count. And he said, well, what strategy are you employing? And I had tried the same thing over and over again, and nothing was changing. And this is what God spoke to my heart. Well, if wisdom is proved right by all of her actions, what are the results saying about the actions that you have taken place? And I said, I have a feeling that the results are testifying that I'm not doing this with the wisdom that you want me to operate with. And then he spoke this, why don't you try it my way this time? And my way had been a way of mercy. I had been showing mercy over and over and over and over and over again. So it wasn't like I was being mean or harsh or cruel or any of that sort of stuff. I was just being merciful, and God had me move into a position of exhortation, which initially looked very bad, was because it was so different from what I had normally done. People thought that it was personal and things like that. It really wasn't. I was just doing what God said, and the end result was glorious. It brought about transformation, which impacted in a positive manner a number of people. So we need to listen to what God has to say. The other thing that this passage says about instruction in a negative manner is in verse number 14. Verse 13 says, they've forsaken my law. They've not obeyed my voice. They've not walked the way that I've wanted them to walk. Instead, they have chosen to follow, and I'm using that word specifically because I'm going to come back in just a minute and deal with the word that's actually translated here in the New King James Version. He said, they follow their hearts. This is such a theme in 2024 that people have had to actually come out and say, the Bible never tells us that we are supposed to follow our heart. Instead, it says the heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. Who can know it? And so people who are just doing whatever their heart wants them to do, they are not doing a successful spiritual journey. Instead, they are on a path that is going to lead to misery and heartache, and it was something that they had been taught by their fathers. That's what it says in verse number 14, which their fathers taught them. So they had been generationally instructed to follow after their heart, and it was leading them to spiritual ruin, economic ruin, and national ruin. The other thing it said is that they were following after the Baals, again, that their fathers had taught them. So they had been taught generational idolatry, and Baal is an inferior alternative to God, and he's not a little inferior, he's astronomically inferior. It is a complete waste of time. It's a road to destruction. And instead of being Lord of life, he's Lord over flies and stuff like that. You just don't want that. And so God is saying the reason that your current situation is what it is because the path you've been on is a path that you were generationally taught. Your fathers and your grandfathers and your mothers and your grandmothers taught you to do it. They taught you to do whatever felt right, whatever your heart wanted to do. They taught you to worship Baal because it was more convenient, it was less restrictive, less demanding. But there's a word, and I told you I substituted the word follow instead of the word that is actually there. It says, but they have walked according to the dictates of their own hearts and after the Baals, which their fathers had taught them. Here's what I want you to see. That whenever we reject God's path, we end up with the only alternative of positioning a dictator in our life. And a dictator controls your life by force. Long time ago, I had a conversation about dictators with a person. I was new to the church. This person was new to the church, and they said, Pastor, it's not hard to remain a dictator. All you've got to do is be willing to kill your own people. And he wasn't accusing me. He was sharing world wisdom. I never function as a dictator. But I can tell you this. The devil is an oppressor. He's a dictator. And you think, hey, I've just got to be me. I got to live my life. I got to do what feels right. And I need to tell you that that's not the path to success. That's the path to oppression. That sets you up to be a victim for your entire life. So I want to teach you, like here on the radio program, I not only want to teach you the things that God wants to teach you, but I want to teach you the dangers of the alternative. Some of you may be, you've got strongholds in your life. Some of you may have addictions in your life. And they could be substance. They could be routine. They could be financial. There are a whole lot of different, I've told you here, I could be addicted to spider solitaire. That's why I don't have spider solitaire. But because I know what I am susceptible to, I make sure that those things are not an option for me. So I take away that which is trying to set itself up as a dictator in my life and control my time and my thoughts and my finances and all of that. I remove that. I force it to abdicate the throne so I can put God on the throne where he rightly deserves to be. And then he teaches me his covenant. He teaches me his word. He teaches me his ways. And he teaches me wisdom and instruction that is in the best interest of my life and my soul. And it is for yours as well. I pray today that you will fall in love as a student of God's word and enroll in his class and let him teach you the way you should go. You have a blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.